Welcome back to the Suns preseason special. John Bloom with you, and I'm joined by a very special guest. He's the general manager of the Phoenix Suns, James Jones. And James, thanks for taking time out as we get ready for the season to start. Let's flash back on this offseason. It was super busy for you. That's an understatement. But take me back and let me know how it has gone for you sitting in the general manager seat and constructing this basketball team.
I mean, it's been rewarding. You know, that in the summer we set out to remake the team and really remake our culture, try to establish a team first culture with some competitive players and create a competitive environment. And so that led us through the draft to acquire guys like Ty Jerome, Cam Johnson, proven college players, to make some transactions to acquire Aaron Baines from Boston, another winner. You know, sign Ricky Rubio in free agency, sign Cheick Diallo in free agency, sign Frank Kaminsky in free agency. And so the theme for us was, let's remake this with guys who are proven NBA players in their prime, guys that make winning plays and make their teammates better, guys that impact winning. And I think we did a pretty good job. And I think when you surround the cast that we already had, Devin, DeAndre, Mikal, Kelly, with those types of players, then you add in Monty and his staff that we have tremendous trust in. I thought, you know, it would set us up to go into the season excited and competitive, and expecting to make some progress.
So you go through all that. You just talked about all the different guys you brought in, and you mentioned Monty Williams. I want to give you a minute to talk about him and about the process that has been bringing in a new coach under your watch and his staff. Let me let you talk on his staff a little bit, because there's quite a bit of experience besides just Monty Williams at the top of that coaching chain, isn't there?
It is, and we spent a lot of time intentionally looking at candidates that we thought would best fit here in Phoenix, fit what we're trying to do, and bring credibility to a new situation. So from Mark Bryant, who's a tremendous coach who's had a ton of success, from Coach Darko, Coach Willie Green, Coach Steve Blake, Randy Ayers, Larry Greer, you know, you see that there's a lot of NBA experience. Guys not only who have experienced it as players, but also as coaches, as player development coaches. And that brings a different level of credibility to your locker room. And when you have young talent, young players like we do, it goes a long way. And Monty, more than anything, knows what it's like to develop and grow as a player and as a coach. And I just thought that would be great, a tremendous asset for our franchise.
Any surprises in your interactions with Monty Williams and his staff? Anything, any stories or anecdotes that you can share over these first couple of months working together with the Suns fans out there, just getting to know what they're like? Because I know all of us as fans and those of us working with the team are going to get to know them better over the course of the next, you know, 6-8 months, whatever it happens to be with how long this season goes on. But what have you learned about this staff?
I mean, they're competitive. You know, they compete amongst themselves. They challenge each other daily. Monty is a different coach than he was in New Orleans. He'll tell you himself that he's found kind of like his balance between building guys up and, you know, kind of shaking them and rebuilding them, if that makes sense. Not being too critical and too harsh, but keeping it real and direct. And transparent with these guys. And I think it really reaches our group because they're a young group, and most of them are looking for instruction and direction from the staff. And if they can see that the staff can be candid and that they can push each other to be better, and that they're focused on, you know, the details, it translates. So what they preach, they put in practice, and that's been great for us.
All right, you mentioned credibility as we talked to the general manager of the Suns, James Jones, here on the Suns preseason special. It had to add some credibility when the guy you signed as a point guard went out and won the MVP of the FIBA World Cup. The guy you signed as a center went out and helped Australia get to the semifinals of that same tournament. And here we we're all watching the only basketball that's on television during that time of year. And here are these two guys doing that. What did that feel like for you and your staff, knowing you already inked them? And what do you think that did for the locker room and the guys around those two? Because they were watching too, weren't they?
Yeah, of course. Well, given, you know, the challenges we've had at the position to be able to convince Ricky to join us and then to watch him explode in the summer, I think our staff, our players, they're excited. He's a leader. And he's proven. And he's getting better. And that's what we all want. We all want to get better. So there was nothing better for us than to watch Ricky establish himself as the best player in the summer. And that carries over. So when Ricky talks, you know, he's a soft-spoken guy, but he's very direct and he leads by example. It'll carry over. And it's been great for us thus far. And I can't tell you how excited I am. And I know Coach is excited to ride into the season with Ricky at the point.
Yeah, it's great watching the dynamic, too, with him and Baines kind of giving each other the business after meeting each other in the semifinals of what is a tournament that I think means a lot to countries around the world, more so than maybe here. We're all getting ready for the NBA season to start, but we know how much it meant to the Spaniards. We know how much it meant to the Aussies watching those two guys, and it was fun to have a piece of it as a Suns fan. I could say that myself, getting a chance to watch more of the FIBA World Cup than I ever have, based on the fact that you had these two guys playing starring roles. All right, let's get on to some of the other acquisitions that you made that maybe flew under the radar relatively, but after these four preseason games, I don't think people are sleeping on Frank the Tank anymore, if they ever were. This is a guy that we all remember as college basketball fans lighting the world on fire at Wisconsin. But in Charlotte, he just didn't seem to jump into the spotlight or back into the spotlight, the basketball spotlight, that is. Do you feel like this is an opportunity for him to remind people of the skill he has on the basketball court? Because it certainly has looked that way in the preseason.
We do. We believe a lot in Frank. You know, myself, the staff, the entire team, we constantly remind Frank that we remember, you know, he was the National College Basketball Player of the Year. And that's a tough feat. You have to be a pretty good player to do that, especially to do it the way he did it, leading his team deep into the into March Madness. So he's been tremendous for us. He's been confident. He's been aggressive. And he does one thing that we value a lot. He shoots the ball consistently. He's not trigger shy, and he's not bashful. And that helps, because we want to play an aggressive style of basketball offensively, and that requires guys to take shots and more importantly, make them.
He was a big part of what was an absolute three-point barrage on the road in Portland over the weekend. You got to be honest with me, James. You didn't see this team hitting 24 threes in the preseason, did you?
Of course we did. You know, we expect. You know, it's great to see the team have that type of success. Now, those are games that don't happen routinely, but I do think the way we played and our aggression as far as taking those shots, that's something that we can carry over night in and night out. And if we do that, if we take those good shots and hunt great shots, I'm confident that we'll have a lot of nights where we make a lot of shots, maybe not 24, but something close to it.
And what was amazing about that performance is here you are playing without Ricky Rubio, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. And I know that that's something that brought a lot of conversation to fans that were looking at this saying, are you kidding? How is this happening? And can we have this happen on a regular? Because it's amazing to watch. And how do you incorporate those three guys back into something like that? Then the preseason finale looked a little bit different against a very good Denver Nuggets team. How much do you think we should take into consideration of what we saw in the preseason relative to what Monty and this group is going to put on display starting next week against the Kings?
Well, you know, the preseason is a time you spend to build chemistry, to experiment with lineups. You expand, and then you contract. I think you'll see that some of the things will carry over: our emphasis on moving the ball, swinging the ball, hunting great shots. The rotations will be different, but our style of play will improve. And I think that's what carries over from the preseason, just your approach, your strategy of execution. And as our guys get more time together, I mean, I have to remind people that Mikal and Kelly were out for two of the preseason games and missed a good portion of training camp. So as they get acclimated and they build chemistry, I think you'll see more consistent performances. And not to take anything away from the opponents that we played prior, but Denver's a really good team. And I think they showed that we still have a ways to go.
Yeah, that is going to be a tough out, the Denver Nuggets this season. There's no doubt. And that leads to this question. The Western Conference isn't getting any easier, although it may be a little bit more open than it's been in the past with not as much dominance at the top, I guess, would be what a lot of people are looking at for this upcoming season. You take a look at the NBA landscape, James, and I know you had the 14 seasons as a player, and now here you are as an exec. But is this as an exciting of a start to a season as you can remember? Because there seems to be more teams who feel like they can get it done in the end?
It is. It's an exciting season for us, an exciting opportunity to continue this, what we call a rebirth here in Phoenix. But the league changes. You know, you go through cycles where teams dominate and the young teams and the young players start to mature and develop chemistry, and teams that were okay, they start to break through. So I think you'll see a lot of parity in the middle, and that makes for exciting basketball. And you know, we don't run away from challenges. We think that playing a tough schedule, playing against great players in games, but more importantly in practice, will allow our team to get better. And if we allow our guys to get better, and if we get better, you know, that's what we're here for. I think that translates to a lot of success on the court.
You've certainly had a lot of it. Now the question is, how does life as a general manager compare to life as a player?
It's different. You know, you have less control. As a player, you could step on the floor and control your effort and energy and control whether or not you make shots. As a general manager, you just have to support the guys that are actually doing it and the coaches that make it happen. But you're still a part of the team, and that's what I love. I love the connection to our players and my partnership with Monty and the coaching staff. We're all rowing in the same direction. We're all looking for the same thing, which is success. And I think together, if we continue to put in the work and we continue to adhere to the process of daily improvement, we'll surprise a lot of people.
And that's what I think, you know, Planet Orange, as we like to affectionately call Suns Nation, is hoping for. The surprise, but also just the competitive juices. You certainly still have it. And I know that Monty and his staff all seem to have it as well as this group of players. And now that they get ready for the season to start, maybe this is one of the toughest weeks for somebody in your role. Is that fair to say? Because you've got to cut the roster. It's maybe not as dramatic as a football roster when you're carrying 80, 90 guys and you got to trim it down to 53. But to go from 19 to 15 is going to mean you're going to have to tell some people some tough news. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's the toughest part of this job. Because when people sign on to participate and be a part of what we're doing, they're family. You know, they're part of the team. And whenever you lose a teammate, team members, it stings. And, you know, the human element is something we're very conscious of. We ask these guys to do a lot, to sacrifice a lot physically, emotionally, and more importantly, to sacrifice their games for the betterment of the team. And so when you lose them via roster transactions, it's tough. But, you know, we understand that's what this business is about. And we make those decisions and we move forward with a group of guys that we truly believe in.
Well, best of luck to you and your staff to finalize that roster. Last thing for you, James, just a moment for you to talk straight to the fans. Tell them what you think the proper expectations should be for this upcoming season.
Well, we go into this season knowing that Coach wants us to play hard. We expect to play hard and compete every night. And that's what we demand, and that's what we owe our fans. And so I can promise you that we carry that we believe in that, that we have to perform and we have to compete, and we'll do it. And like I said, this will be an exciting season, and I hope the Suns fans will show out, and be proud of what we're doing.
Looking forward to it, James. Thanks so much for taking time out to join us here tonight.
All right, thank you.